You're listening to Beltway Beef, official commentary from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Washington, D.C. office.
Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of NCBA's Beltway Beef Podcast. I'm Hunter Ehrman, and today we're catching up with NCBA's president, Mark Isley, a Wyoming rancher who was here in Washington, D.C. for the legislative conference. Mark, we're glad you're here. Tell us a little bit about the value of being in D.C. and what legislative conference is all about.
Well, the legislative conference is where we have about 300 producers come up and meet with their legislators, talk about the issues, go visit the regulatory agencies that affect their livelihood. So big week, big deal. Great to see my colleagues.
So this is a multi-day event. This afternoon we're hearing from some federal agencies. Tomorrow we're up on Capitol Hill. What are you looking forward to in these meetings?
Well, I'm looking forward to some straightforward dialogue and some interaction. They can hear from us what we have on our mind, and we can see what they have planned and see how we can come to a meeting of the minds.
I want to specifically talk about the congressional meetings. What's the value of having all these cattle producers up on Capitol Hill, walking through the hallways? What kind of message does that send to Congress?
It's a powerful message. These are the landowners and the operators that feed this country. And when they take time to dedicate to visit them, they know they're going to get some straightforward discussions, some facts, some science. And they can use that as a basis for some of the knowledge they're going to be having that they need to apply as they regulate the country and work on laws.
I'd like to dive into some of the issues that NCBA is up on Capitol Hill talking about. First and foremost, in my mind, is the value of the beef checkoff and pushing back on legislation like the OFF Act. As a cattle producer, walk us through why you support the beef checkoff.
Well, our consumers consume our product. We have to promote that. We have to educate them. We also have to affect good change for folks who make those decisions, like dietitians, school lunch programs, those sort of things. So it's important that we support that. We support the producers and inform and educate everybody who uses our product. And the OFF Act, I would like to call it the Awful Act, because that's really what it is. It's pursued by some activists who don't understand, don't believe, and don't support the checkoff, and don't understand the good quality of the work. It's all credible, it's all been accounted for, it's gone through audits. It's a great program, and more producers should step up and support it.
Mark, what have you seen this year in terms of animal rights activists really coming out of the woodwork and attacking programs like the beef checkoff?
They're certainly ramping up their attacks and their rhetoric. A lot of it's based on what I call the I think, I feel, I believe. But they mostly have an agenda of their own, and it's kind of a self-serving one. It has nothing to do with watersheds, clean air, clean water, as they would claim. People like those things. They like open spaces, and that's one of the things we provide in addition to a great product.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned some of the open spaces. You're out in the West and operating on federal lands. For everybody who isn't familiar with that system, might be out back east on private property, walk us through why the federal lands issues are so important and why that's a focus of NCBA.
The reason those federal lands are so important is because that is the testing ground for activists. Anyone that they want to try a new way, a restriction, whatever they think they can get away with, water use, land use, access, you name it, endangered species, that's where they'll start. If they're successful there, it's just another short step to end up on your private property and start restricting your rights and your ability to use that for good. So it's a concern. We're the first stepping stone. We could potentially be the first domino if we're not vigilant about what we do.
You know, there's a lot of people who have questions about who NCBA represents, and I think that's best answered by talking about partnerships and the work we do with our state affiliates. Can you talk a little bit more about NCBA's work with the states and how we represent producers from across the country here in Washington?
Yeah, the state associations and the affiliates that we represent are us at the groundswell level. They're everyday producers, big and little. We have everybody and we welcome everybody. And we represent their interests in all kinds of places, especially in D.C., where they can't afford to come and travel and visit one-on-one. When we show strength in numbers, it's very successful. So that's why this week is so important. Anytime we can visit and show that we're supportive of the industry throughout, that's what we're here for.
You know, one of the other issues NCBA has been talking about for some time now is the Farm Bill. And obviously we know Congress has been quite delayed in considering the next Farm Bill. What do you want to see as a cattle producer in this next Farm Bill?
Well, I'd like to see some progress moving forward with the Farm Bill. That would be the first thing. Second of all, I think there's misunderstanding. So much of the Farm Bill doesn't actually go to farms and ranches. It's for other support programs. But the actual meat and potatoes of that does go to farmers and ranches is critical. We've got conservation programs. We've got indemnity programs. We've got market support programs. We're having all kinds of assistance programs. We're making sure that things like the National Animal Vaccine and Countermeasures Bank is fully stocked, so we're prepared in, heaven forbid, a foot and mouth disease outbreak. We're trying to work on all kinds of different things like that are critical to our producers' ability to continue to work and thrive at what they do.
Mark, you have kind of a non-traditional story for how you got started in the ranching business. Walk us through what that was like, and can you tell us a little bit about how you built up your ranch?
You know, I was lucky, but I was also worked it really hard at being lucky. I started out with a hay stacking business, and I didn't own any cattle at all. And I was doing custom work. I was stacking hay and started putting up hay on different ranches. And I would do the different ranches. I saw how they operated. And I'd find out about pieces of ground that had been available for lease. And so then I started buying some cows. I'd move the cows. The cows paid for the equipment. The equipment paid more for the cows. Pretty soon I had a line of equipment. I had a herd of cows. And some folks were really pleased. I developed credit lines doing that sort of thing. So every time an opportunity presented itself, I jumped at it. And it took a while. But, you know, I had great bankers, I had good accountant, I had all these folks that gave me great mentorship and some advice, and one outfit actually took notice and said maybe I'd be interested in partnering with them, and that's how I got my foot in the door at the King Ranch. So, the King Ranch in Wyoming, not Texas. Anyway, and it was a lifelong goal, and I came from ranching families on both sides of my family. I love the people that in the industry, they're forthright, they contribute to the community. I wanted to be one of those people.
So, Mark, given all of this time you spent building up this ranch, supporting your family, what do you need to see from Congress to make sure that this way of life can continue for future generations like your children and your grandchildren?
Well, there's several things. Obviously, we'd like a level playing field. And I think one of the things that are most concerning to me is the tax structure. The death tax, you can call it the estate tax, but it's the death tax, is a huge impediment. It's an enormous hurdle for producers to overcome, to transition from one family member to the next, to keep it in the family. These are good, successful businesses that have survived because they do the right thing. They're sustainable, they're economically viable, and that tax, that death tax, makes the family have to pay for the farm or ranch again and again and again. How many times does a family have to pay for a place before it's actually finally theirs? It's not fair, and it's disproportional to the rest of the taxes that most people pay.
So, Mark, to close out, I want to ask you about the value of NCBA and the value of NCBA being a partner to cattle producers across the country. What's your message about why you should join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association?
Everybody should support their industry, whether they're a plumber or a carpenter or a rancher or farmer. They do things and make themselves available to us in multiple ways. NCBA does, that is. They help with promotion, they help with education, they help with research, all things that move our business, our industry forward, and they protect it from the folks who would do harm to it. So if you're not a member, I urge you to join, and if not, give us a call. We'll visit with you about it.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today, and hope you have a great week here in Washington.
Looking forward to it. All winter long, this is one of the highlights, is when we get to come to D.C. and do this.
This has been another episode of Beltway Beef. Don't forget to check us out online at policy.ncba.org or catch the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, including SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.